Buff Nation!
Let's go!
Welcome into DMVR Buffs Primetime. We are presented by Illegal Pete's. Check out any of their 10 Colorado locations for happy hour, 3 to 6 p.m. every single day. Jake Schwanitz, RK, you guys know what the deal is. What's up, man?
What is going on? That picture goes hard.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's one of the better ones from the crop that we got from CU.
It's funny that they all have these like baggy jerseys on. Shador's like, can someone like tie this up in the back? This is driving me insane.
Yeah, get my guy his two.
Yeah, soon, exactly. Please. Get that man his two. Get him like a more tailored jersey. Also, like the smaller players on the team look extra small as they're like swimming in these jerseys. Yes.
Well, even Travis, it looks like it's like a balloon on him almost. It's huge.
Did you see? This is random, but. You know, Nebraska fans are running their mouths today. So you know how it says S2S on the helmets?
Oh my God, yes.
So that stands for shoulder to shoulder, and it did exist before Shador got here. It's kind of a fun, cool thing.
Yeah.
It can also be Shador number two Sanders. But Chris Creamer, who does like UniWatch or whatever, sports logo, sorry if I messed that up. He put out a story about, you know, the Buffs not wearing numbers on their practice jerseys. And someone commented and said, yet he allows Shador to wear S2S on his helmet. Coach Prime will be a disaster, turning a once proud program into a disgrace, which, by the way, we've been a disgrace for a while. Then someone else goes, if you don't think that's a subliminal message for Heisman voters, then, well, I don't know what else to tell you. It's not a coincidence. He's the only one with a number two, and those are his initials.
That's amazing.
These people are, like, really dense.
Yeah.
Like, really dense.
Yeah. He's already talking Heisman, though.
I know. I love that he's already worried that, like the media is going to hand the Heisman to Shador Sanders. Like, that is a world I would love to live in. But it is unbelievable how dumb people are.
Nebraska fans are a different breed, man. Literally.
They are. They really are.
We've got actually quite a bit to cover today. It's a lot of recruiting stuff. We got a new coach. And then we're just going to kind of look back. Well, the Buffs have been getting a lot of attention today, particularly. You've got a Rivals article, front page of ESPN, too.
Yep.
Where we start, though, is with the recruiting stuff.
Maybe that guy who was upset that there was women's basketball on the front page of ESPN can pipe down.
Yes.
Did you see that whole thing?
No.
Oh, God, it was a disaster.
I mean, what else is supposed to go on the front page in March but basketball?
And it was like a day where there was no men's games and two massive women's games. Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyways, Rico Scott. This guy is a four-star 247 Sports composite player, 390th player overall, 55th overall wide receiver from Bishop McDevitt High School in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, class of 2024, 6 foot, 185. He put out a top six, Ryan. Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Penn State, Texas A&M, CU.
What is Penn State doing in there? No, I'm just kidding. Let's go.
Insane, man.
It's so interesting how many players of that build there are. There's just so many 6 foot, 6'1 receivers. This guy is obviously a very good one of them, but it feels like every receiver is in that range. What was his weight?
He is 185.
Okay, that's a little on the thicker side.
A little heavier, yeah.
Just keep surviving. You know what really stands out to me about this one? What was it? Harrisburg, Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah.
Buffs maybe have never had a player from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Or that area, like... Pennsylvania, we're recording like that. It's just mind boggling. You know, Coach Prime ain't hard to find. We know that, but he's finding players that maybe are hard to find. Like these guys are from all over, everywhere. We've talked about it before, but like from LA to the UK, Coach Prime's finding guys. It's pretty crazy because while once in a while over the last few years, we end up in one of these conversations. It's always been in the backyard spots.
Mm-hmm. So last year, as a junior, caught 66 passes for 1,184 yards and 18 touchdowns.
Shoot.
Well, his team went 13-1 and won the Class 4A title. He also carried the ball six times for 77 yards and a touchdown, and averaged 33.5 yards per return on six kick returns. He is a weapon with the ball in his hands.
Let's go.
You want to talk about another one?
Yeah, real quick, Alyssa, could you make the comments a little bit bigger for us?
Yeah. Thank you.
It's either that or I'm getting older every day.
So you were impressed by Mr. Rico Scott. What if I told you Bryant Wesco is better, rated better?
Wow.
He is from Midlothian, Texas, Midlothian High School, 6'2", 180. He is a 247 Sports 5-star. He is a 247 Sports Composite 4-star, 66th overall player, 12th overall wide receiver.
Wow.
He listed CU in a top 8 with TCU, OU, Nebraska, Clemson, Texas, Arkansas, LSU, and CU.
Wow. He comes here, will be running the Wesco offense.
Yes. he is a Texas 5A qualifier in the high jump, long jump, triple jump, and this was as a sophomore in the spring of 2022. Was a Texas 5A champion in the long jump and triple jump. So this is 2021 stats. Only 17 receptions, 212 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He must have had insane stats last year then. His father is Bryant Wesco, Louisiana Tech Athletics Hall of Famer, 2021 inductee. He holds is a 5-time All-American in the triple jump and holds Louisiana Tech's record in indoor and outdoor triple jumps. And his sister, Bailey Wesco, is a soccer player for the Oklahoma women's team.
I was going to ask if he had any relation. There was a Wesco in the NFL over the last few years, but it doesn't sound like it. I feel like that probably would have come up. I think he played for the Commanders, I want to say. Fullback. But I love getting these track stars. I mean, you know, that I guess that when I said it out loud, it's obvious, right? Like team speed. We talk about it all the time. But also when you hear triple jump and things like that, like that's all just like athleticism.
Oh yeah.
Just pure athleticism. So man, what did Adam set the line at for? What did he pick for 5 stars? 3?
I think he said 3.
He started at 4 and then he went back to 3. Yeah. I'm saying 4 or more.
So here's his last year stats. 56 receptions, 1,072 yards, 12 touchdowns with a 93-yard with his longest reception. It just has all purpose. I don't have rushing. Oh, rushing. Only 1 carry last year, but a dog. Big jump from sophomore to junior season.
Let's go.
So there you go. Another wide receiver. I mean, you throw in Ryan Wingo, who's one of the best in the 24 class, too. They are really going after. And it goes back to what Sean Lewis said yesterday,
man.
Yep. I asked him, other than the quarterback, what the most demanding position in his offense is, and he says the wide receiver. He said they're the angels of the offense, basically.
Yeah, well, and I found that to be an interesting term.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something we noticed right from the start when we started watching Sean Lewis. And it stands out anytime you see it. Also, we talked about a play yesterday we talked about how they kind of started running the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to Bucky because I rewatched the play on the well off video, and it was when it was 3rd and 1 according to Bucky. He was like 3rd and 1. They got to get this. It was right before the touchdown to Travis, but they ran one of those just little quick bubble screens to Jimmy Horn. He got it easily and, you know, broke off a big chunk.
Yep.
But it's all this offense is so obvious. If you get the receivers that can do and know what they're looking at.
Yep.
And they should, you know, like especially with Coach Prime. But with any of these receivers, I think a lot of them get to college and you'll see these high level receivers not pan out. It's because they just think like, I just need to know my route and run it and catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works in high school, right? You're running a 9, you're running a post, you're running a comeback. All you got to do is just get your hands out and beat it. Once you get to college, and especially when you get to the pros, you have to know exactly what you're looking at. It's what makes Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce maybe the most unstoppable duo,
right?
Is he always knows right where to go, and Mahomes knows that he knows where to go, so he's just waiting for him to get there.
Yep.
And that's not a route. That's a connection between the quarterback and the tight end. So it's not run 5 yards and turn around. It's run to the spot, where that opens up in the defense and then turn around.
Mm-hmm. It almost kind of makes it surprising that guys like Dante Cephas and the other receivers at Kent State kind of didn't follow Sean Lewis over.
I know. I wonder if they end up regretting it.
We'll find out. Another wide receiver, though, Jeremiah Hoffman. He announced he will be visiting Colorado for the spring game on April 22nd. I don't think he even has a 247 Sports profile yet. So on his Twitter, it just says 2025 wide receiver, was a varsity starter as a freshman and a sophomore. And he says he set 5 high school track records his freshman year. According to his Twitter bio, 4.47 40-yard dash time. 4.12 shuttle time.
That is fast for a guy that young.
Yeah.
Insanely fast for a guy that young. That's why Dylan Edwards running in the 4.3s was like...
I know.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's insane. He's also visiting... So what is today? Today's the 23rd, so I guess after this weekend, he's visiting UNLV. Right after that, on the 30th, he is visiting the Huskers in Nebraska. April 8th, he's visiting Wyoming, and then he's wrapping it all up with a visit to CU for the spring game. The Buffs also hired another new coach. Tommy Robinson now is joining the staff. He was a running backs coach at Texas A&M, has been coaching for over 30 years, has coached 4 national title teams. He was with LSU in 2019, that historic team, just full of studs top to bottom. He's coached at USC. He's coached in the NFL for the Cowboys and the Cardinals with the Cowboys from 98 to 2000, which I think is the link to Coach Prime. His all-time commits list on 247 Sports. You ever heard of Derek Stingley Jr.?
Yes, I have.
Stephen Carr, who was a 5-star running back. He played at USC for a while. I don't know if you remember him.
Yep, I do remember him.
Austin Jackson was a 1st-round tackle out of USC.
Yep, remember that.
At Miami. Devontae Freeman. I think he played somewhere first and then transferred out to Texas.
Okay.
Who else was on here that was notable? Anyways, he's got so many names. It's a pretty impressive list, but... another beast at recruiting gets added to the staff.
And just so randomly.
Yeah.
It's not as if they had an open position that we knew of that they were looking to fill. Kind of just one of these things where I think Coach Prime finds someone that he likes and has an opportunity to add him and says, we'll figure out the title. Mm-hmm. You know, just come join the movement.
I did think it was interesting, though, because I feel like they already have a lot of offensive analysts. You got Michael Pollack, you got Darian Hagan kind of doing his thing, who also coaches running backs. But now you add another running back guy into the fold. Coach Prime is still Deion Sanders, if you didn't know. The bench press clip that's been going around. I mean, if we ever needed a reminder, that was it, that he is still him.
That was crazy. Like, I think that a lot of people, and I saw it first on Neely's channel, I think that a lot of people see him limping with the surgery that he had to have and maybe just forget like who we're dealing with here. And I would love to ask Coach Prime what he like, when's the last time he put up, I don't know how often he hits the bench.
Right.
Right. But I kind of think of it as just like he hadn't benched in a while. And I wonder if he knew like how many in his head he was going to be able to put up. And he could have kept going.
Well, I'm sure he benches. I don't know how often he benches. 245. Right, 240.
That's kind of what I should have said. Like, when's the last time he tested his max?
Right.
It's certainly a lot higher than 245. I'll tell you that.
Yes.
But that was just incredible. And I don't even like, I don't even think Bucky was expecting that.
I know. Well, he went to help him with to like pop it off the bar.
And let's not forget, winter jacket stays on, hat, sunglasses stay on. It's not like he like, all right, let me take my jacket off, get all situated. Like, just let me sit down and see what I'm working with here. And just tossing it up.
Yeah.
Gotten 10.
The comment, I did misspeak. It's not Devontae Freeman. It's Deontay Foreman.
Oh, Deontay Foreman.
Yes,
okay,
I was talking about.
He did go to Texas.
Yes. But yeah, man, it was, I mean, and then just stands up and gets on the Segway and he's out of there. It was easy for him.
Crazy. And that reminds me, so we posted the Sean Lewis video yesterday and some people were in the comments were upset at the reporter who was asking about Coach Prime being on the scooter, and they're like, why is he asking about the scooter when he knows why he's on the scooter? Just so you guys know, I don't think that person knew that Coach Prime, why Coach Prime was using the scooter.
Yep.
Like, the way that media works here in Colorado and in Denver specifically, which obviously then bleeds into Boulder, is everyone is here to cover the Broncos. And that's one of the reasons, like, why we started this. It's funny because I still cover the Broncos.
Right.
But we all, when we started this company, one of the ideas was all the teams deserve some shine.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there's people that care about all of them. But a lot of these other outlets are like Broncos 99% of the time, 1% anything else. So, like, the person who asked that question, I'm not specifically trying to single them out, but, like, they've never watched a well-off video. They don't know anything about the Buffs. They don't know who Dylan Edwards is. They just came here with a camera and a microphone because that's what they were told to do.
Right.
And I'm kind of siding with them. All I'm saying is, like, I don't know if it was, like, bait as much as it was ignorance.
For sure. There's a lot of people who are covering this team that aren't as tuned in as we are.
Too many. And, like, there are, you know, we've tried to highlight some of the voices who are for real, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll continue to do that. And hopefully, highlight is maybe a strong word, but collaborate with them. A lot of people know them, but I'm talking about, like, you know, the people that have been covering Colorado for a long time, rather than the people who have just showed up with a camera because,
right.
you know, the show is in town.
Mm-hmm. Just to go back real quick to Tommy Robinson. So Clarence Hill Jr. reported that he's been writing for the Cowboys since 97. And then our favorite Twitter sleuth, Matt H. at ScoBuffs22, he put this note out there. So remember Cardell Thomas, who we talked about, the LSU offensive lineman who was working yes. with McChesney?
Yes.
Coach Robinson recruited him to LSU.
There you go.
So there's another connection. Yeah. We'll see exactly how that turns out. Shout out to Draft. Go ahead.
That dude has an NIL deal too.
Does he really?
Yeah.
With who?
Some clothing brand.
Wow. Well, he's about to have a lot more NIL deals if he comes to Colorado.
For sure.
Shout out to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And right now, new customers, if you sign up with the code DMVR, you can only bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Do the Nuggets play tonight?
No.
No?
No.
Well, you can bet on the Buffs women's team again. I haven't seen if the Lions moved, but it was 4.5-point dogs to Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Are you taking the Buffs?
Hell yeah.
Money line?
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
Like I said, Coach Payne isn't scared of Caitlin Clark. That fires yep. me up. Maybe she goes off and goes crazy and, you know, we'll move on. But I think the Buffs are going to come in with a good plan.
For sure. The Buffs have weapons too. Don't underrate the Buffs. Bet on them over at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA with code DMVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Void in Ohio. So you're hanging out at home. Maybe you had a few to drink and you're enjoying your time at DraftKings Sportsbook, but you're out of weed. What do you do, Ryan?
Jive Hive.
You hit up Jive Hive, the virtual dispensary on wheels that can deliver to you wherever you may be. They have no brick and mortar stores, which means low overhead and low prices for you, the customer. Like I said, if you've been at home partying, don't want to hit the dispo, or you just had a busy day, can't get to the dispo, hit up Jive Hive. They'll be able to deliver to you wherever you may be. Go to jivehive.com, that's JiveHyve.com, and get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window. They'll be there to say hi. Head on over to jivehive.com and enter your address to find out if Jive Hive can deliver to your door, now serving Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County. JiveHyve.com. Don't drive, Jive Hive. Okay, we talked about this. the Buffs have been getting a lot of publicity today from national outlets, ESPN and Rivals. Which one do you want to start off with first, the Rivals or ESPN one?
Rivals one should be quick, right?
Rivals one should be quick. This one's more so about recruiting. We got a coach from, or a quote from Boo Carter, who is a 2024 recruit. A quote from 2025 four-star wide receiver Donovan Olegbode, I want to say his name is, but it's really just breaking down how Coach Prime has really changed Colorado's fortunes in terms of recruiting. and done it in such a short amount of time, going into places like Louisiana, like Kansas, where Dylan Edwards is, Miami, where Kamoni McLean is from, Danny O'Neill from Indianapolis, Juwan Johnson from Louisiana, too. It's just a completely different approach. The quote from Boo Carter was kind of just talking about how he believes in him. He says, I believe in Coach Prime. He changed JSU. He can change Colorado. Me going there, that's like me being in his shoes. He's the best of all time. Me playing for the best of all time. I want to be the best of all time, so that's how I look at it.
Boom.
He hasn't committed yet, but that's pretty strong words.
We'll see you soon, Boo.
Yeah. The other guy, Donovan Olugbode, had a quote. Just knowing all the guys Deion is bringing in and all the insights he has, shoot, it's going to be a great outcome. I know Deion is going to do something this season, just knowing the guys, the great guys like Travis Hunter he's bringing there.
Buff's had a player during the Rise season named Kenneth Olugbode.
Okay.
I wonder if there's any relation there.
I'll get on that.
How do you spell it?
It is...
O-L-U-G-B-O-D-E?
Yep.
Interesting.
Olugbode. There's also a quote from... This is Miles Lockhart. These are just the Rivals rankings just because I'm on that website. But three-star, looks like he is... It says ST. Oh, for state. I don't know what his position is. Cornerback. He said, it's definitely a big change from what their old staff had. You can definitely feel the new vibe. That's what I really want to see, and I feel that's the hesitation from a lot of recruits on that school. They want to see how they're going to develop and how they're going to work as a team. That's why Deion is going to the transfer portal and getting those guys instead of high school guys because he's trying to win immediately. A lot of guys want to see how that program is going to do first. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Also, R.E., the comment from Sean, we talk about how just the people notice everything.
Yeah.
And they do.
They do. So Donovan Olugbode is actually from IMG Academy also. His 247 sports page is pretty bare. Doesn't even have any stars or rankings. So I think we'll have to do some deeper digging to find out if he's actually related to... What was the...
Kenneth?
Yep,
linebacker.
Olugbode. Okay.
The ESPN article, though,
yes,
had an interesting tidbit in it before we get into the whole thing,
mm-hmm,
about the spring game,
right?
Which sales are up to 39,000. So last we heard was 35,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're up to 39,000. And as a friend of the program, Ted, pointed out on Twitter, 39,000 in the horseshoe is going to look like a sellout. Now, who knows how many they're going to sell because people said, oh, well, 50,000 includes the, you know, the luxury boxes and all that. Let's just say they sell 45,000.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, people are going to have to squeeze because of the general admission. Like, if you go to a sold-out ball arena tonight, what's going to happen is you're going to have your seat and you're going to know it's there when you get there. And if someone's in your seat, you tell them, hey, what's going on here? When you go into a stadium with that many seats and it's just a free for all.
Yeah.
I am very curious to see what happens.
Yeah.
Because people are going to have to just be like going into aisles and just being like, hey, can you guys squeeze in so I can stand here?
Right.
Because, you know, let's just say an aisle holds 20 people. Normally, if everyone's seat is assigned, when you just go in, you're not going to be standing that close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so there might be 15 in an aisle taking up all the space of 20. People are going to be like, especially if you show up late, you're going to have to be like going in asking like, hey, can any chance you guys can just squeeze me in here? Yeah. Like, I am excited to see how this all shakes down because it might just be a shit show, but in a good way.
Right.
Just like everyone's trying to pack in wherever they can.
Well, the good news about Folsom, though, is so close to the field. There's, as Coach Prime said, there's not a bad seat in the house, though.
There really aren't. There are no bad seats. And it's pretty cool. It's going to be, I'm so excited. So many people are going to get to experience it for the first time this year because it's, like you said, the stands are on top of the field, almost to a detriment, but mm-hmm, from a fan perspective, it's pretty cool to be that close.
Yep. So this ESPN article, it mentioned the spring game. It mentioned like the massive increase in sales from the merch department. the social media presence, all that stuff that we've really been talking about since December. They got some quotes, though. Coach Prime had a quote. There was a interesting section here from Darian Hagan, though, who's been with this program for quite a long time. He's seen all the ups and all the downs, really, especially over the last 30 years. He said, all you see is him in Colorado. Colorado on TV, Colorado on social media, all eyes on Colorado. That's what I remember this place being, under the microscope, top of the mountain. Everyone's wanting to knock us off. In the last 10 years, it's been easy to knock us off. And he goes, we've been bad. He just says it. Hitting the nail on the head. True. Yeah. And then they go into the... There's a part later on. I don't know if there's a quote, but he... I guess Darian Hagan was in his office and was like rummaging through his stuff looking for something. And then he just goes ahead and pulls up the photo of Ice Cube with the Colorado hat on.
Yep.
And he's like, this is like, this was game changing. This is like when it all hit this apex.
100%. And that is absolutely what's happening. Brandon sent me an Instagram video of like Wallow wearing a CU hoodie. And I was just like, yeah, dude, like everyone is friends with Coach Prime. And it's crazy. I was talking to Neely about this. Just like, it's crazy how everyone is friends with him. Not just like, oh, I know Coach Prime. Like, they like have like a relationship. And you better believe Lil Wayne is going to be rocking a CU hat. You better believe Snoop is going to put it on, you know, even though he's a USC guy. Like, he'll still put it on.
Mm-hmm.
So it is true, though, like, in that early 90s, especially that like starter jacket era, the black and gold was in fashion. Mm-hmm. Not just like it was cool around here because we love the Buffs. Like CU stuff was in fashion because it just hit. So that's about to come back around.
Coach Prime's quote, kind of just encapsulating who he is as a coach, and we can kind of go into what we want to talk about here. His quote says, I'm a need to be needed type of person. If you show me a need, then I'm there. But if there's no need, I don't really have a place. That's what I do. That's what I've done. I've always been that type of guy. There is a tremendous need at Colorado, and I don't think it's all about football. It far surpasses football on the field. It's always bigger than football for him.
The need to be needed thing really brings me back to like when I was dreaming of the potential of Coach Prime possibly coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think our best chance is if Coach Prime sees the challenge and is like, I know that this school has been there before. I want to be the one to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, when he talks about Rick George, I think that's what Rick George nailed, was the need to be needed thing. When Rick George called him and said, I want my legacy to be that I left Colorado in a great place when I leave here one day, and I think you're my last hope of being able to get them there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really resonated with Coach Prime. And I love Rick George not taking the approach of you're interviewing for my job. He recruited Coach Prime to be the coach, and that is what you needed to do if you were going to go and get Coach Prime. So great job to Rick George, and I think that's a really like self-aware quote from Coach Prime, you know, and we needed him bad. So thank you, Coach.
Yes. I thought this was it. We'll get into what we want to talk about, but this part from the article really stood out to me. Remember when he was at the Super Bowl doing the Coach of the Year honors?
Yeah.
He gave it to Brian Daboll. They're walking off the stage. Brian Daboll tells him, I've got a dog for you. Already, like, these connections are already paying off for Coach Prime, and he's already going to get these, I guess, inside angles on some of these recruits that already know a lot of these other coaches. At any level, really.
Well, and as we've kind of gone into spring practice here and seen Coach Prime, the coach, like, it makes sense why anyone who's been close to him would want their players to play for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whether it's Brian Daboll or, you know, any of these other, you know, coaches that have sent their kids to play for Coach Prime or anyone, like, we've seen Coach Prime, the personality, so much since he got here. And it's really cool now that we're getting to go into ball and see Coach Prime, the football coach,
mm-hmm.
and see him lead those morning meetings, And just like the way that he delivers a message and the way that he kind of tries to hammer things into the kids' heads. And you see it out on the field too. Like, he's such a motivator. And you know, when you're in a room with someone who's like very clearly cool, and maybe they're famous or whatever, and everyone in the room, whenever they make a joke or something, they look over to see, did I make them laugh? Like, that's what playing for Coach Prime is. Every player is out there trying to impress him 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposite side of that is trying to not let him down, right? You never want to be the one who, like, in that room I'm talking about, the one who says something that the person's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What did you just say? You know, and everyone's like, dude, you killed the vibe.
Right.
Like, everyone wants his respect and his admiration and his adoration so deeply that he commands a different type of practice. And so it's been really cool to just see these kids are slowly but surely learning. Obviously, the ones from Jackson State, they came in knowing. But I love when Bucky is recording, or Neely or Darius is recording the practices or the speeches, and they pan to the room,
mm-hmm.
and you see those kids, man, they are locked in.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know that they don't want to be the one to not be paying attention, or they also want to hear what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same way you and I turn on those videos and like, and he starts talking, I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
That's how they feel too. And they know that every kind of thing he says is something they can use to help their status with him. And that's what everyone is trying to do, is improve their status with the head coach. But it hits so different with Coach Prime because of who he is.
Right. That, and just the level of accountability has been raised too. I think the perfect example is yesterday's Well Off video, talking about, what was the word? Reciprocity?
No, it was reciprocation.
Reciprocation is what it was. Just about saying that, look, you know, I'm going to put in everything I have, and in return, I want everything that you've got. On the field, just paying attention in meetings, following even the like menial rules, like black socks when you're out there lifting weights, all that type of stuff. And it's something that Colorado, it needed. I mean, you needed that higher level of accountability. And you've heard that coming out of the program. Like, players are saying that. Coaches are saying that. These kids needed that. And Coach Prime is able to do that. And that's what he did at JSU, too.
Yep. You know who believes in reciprocation?
Who?
Roman.
Yes, they do. Shout out, Roman.
It's pretty cool. What did you think of DBs with back plates?
Well, personally, I never understood them anyway, because DBs are supposed to be doing the tackling, one. If you're chasing from behind and getting hit in the back as a DB, you ain't doing your job. But
Get hit in the back as a DB, it's 15 yards the other way.
It could be true. but yeah, it just ties into the jersey thing and everything. He wants everyone to look the same right now, because everyone is at the same level of trying to build this thing up. Like, no one is, you've got your Travis Hunters, you got your Shadors, but they're also trying to elevate this program and do what they can to really bring this Phoenix from the ashes again, basically.
Yep. I think it's funny. Like, just the whole, it would have never crossed my mind. Like, I've been seeing players, especially defensive backs, wear back plates forever, you know, and they kind of like hike up the jersey so you can see it kind of hanging out. I remember when my buddy was on the equipment staff, and like Ken Crawley, who played at CU and played in the league for a minute, for a while actually, asked him to like make him a custom back plate. He's like, can you put like the Buff logo on here? And like, never once did it cross my mind that DBs don't get hit in the back.
Yep.
But I think you're right. It's, everything is earned. Like, swagger is earned. I remember Jason Capono. Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
So Jason Capono was a basketball player at UCLA. Who went to the league, and he was just like a sharpshooter. He played, you know, he lasted in the league a little while, but he was just saying about how like he would show up and he would wear at UCLA, especially like the headband and the wristband and all the thing. And everyone would like try to dunk on him, And then he would go out and ball. Mm-hmm. But he was just like, there's always that guy who wears the wristbands and the arm sleeve and the headband and the leg, you know, the calf sleeve and sucks. And like that, it makes it worse, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's what Coach Prime is kind of getting at here, is like all of this stuff is earned. Although I think he actually doesn't want those guys ever wearing back plates.
Right. Well, you said it yesterday, though. No one's got like arm sleeves on. No one's got sweatbands. Like,
I think he's legit. You got to earn everything mm-hmm. down to the sweatband.
Yep. Down to the number on your jersey. Everything, yep. man. All right. Let's get to the questions and talk to the people. Sparky asked if there are Victor Venn sightings. He was working quite a bit yesterday.
Yep.
Good to see him.
They're doing him dirty with those big jerseys,
though. I know. Same with Dylan. shout out to Breckenridge Brewery. You guys know we love our Breck Brews here at DMVR. If you didn't come hang out yesterday for the Buff Stampede DMVR collab, I'm sure we'll be doing that again. It was really cool to crush some Breck Brews and just hang out with everyone after the show.
It was awesome.
It was a great time.
Yeah. Shout out to everyone who came down, especially the guys who are showing us love, mm-hmm. telling us they watch the show every day. Yep. It's pretty cool.
It was really awesome. You can check out the beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. The Mountain Beach Sour, Vanilla Porter Jr., Broncos Country, Mile High City Golden Ale, all those great beers can be found at www.breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. And then shout out to our presenting sponsor, Illegal Pete's. It's kind of been a light Illegal Pete's last few weeks for me. I think I only had it when we got catered the other day.
Wow, you
got
to step up your IP game.
I know. I'm working on it. For the entire month of March, though, Illegal Pete's will be donating $1 to the youth on record from every vodka fresh press sold. Stop by one of Illegal Pete's 10 Colorado locations, order a Tito's fresh press. Know that your money is going to support Colorado's next big star. Shout out to Illegal Pete's, our go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer.
You know what I found out recently?
What's up?
Pete mm-hmm. himself?
Yeah.
Buffs fan.
Mm.
Let's go.
Makes sense then.
Yep.
Love that. All right. What's up, people? Let's get some questions on
the screen. Val has been really loving on my hoodie here, so thank you.
What is that?
It's just a hoodie with an R on it and a rose.
That is dope.
They said, is it my personal line? Yeah, it's like my Shador legendary
line.
There
you go.
I need that.
Also, hit that thumbs up button while you're at it. We'd appreciate your 5-star reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts also. We're holding on to 4.6 level on Apple.
Going to 4.7.
We need it. All right. Who is here first? David with the question. Guys, I'm hearing a lot of rumblings. Hooks will be on the way to Boulder soon. I really hope this is true. Can you imagine running a 4-wide set? Hooks, Horn, the other. So Weaver and Travis Hunter. I mean, yeah, man. Wow.
The opportunities are endless. And like I said yesterday, watching the practice, I realized even more why they need a big wide receiver, because you need those guys to be physical. Not that the smaller guys can't be physical, but there's just like Shane Hook's 6'5 frame when he goes out to block someone is a mm-hmm. lot harder to get around
yep.
and gives Jimmy Horn one more half second to make a move and, you know, bend mm-hmm. around and take it to the house. So I think if I guess, he's coming.
Yep. We're waiting on you, Shane. Next question from Connor. Out of the running back room, who do you think might jump in the portal post spring ball?
Someone.
Someone's going to have to.
So you've got Deion Smith.
He's staying.
Yep. Dylan Edwards.
Yep.
Hank. Hankerson.
Venn.
Victor Venn. Kavassier Smoke.
You got Offerdahl. You got Jaylee Stack. Wow.
Offerdahl's a walk on, though.
Yes. They have a lot of running backs, though.
Jaylee Stacks. I don't know. And I like this player, so I'm not saying I hope it happens.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I have a feeling it's going to be Hankerson.
Mm. Interesting.
But maybe Venn. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not trying to push those guys out by any means. I just have for some reason, I get a gut feeling on that one.
Yeah. It's a deep room, though. I think it's deeper than we actually thought it was when you name it like that.
I even like Jaylee Stacks.
Yes.
He kind of looks like a fullback, but you saw at Kent State, they had that bowling ball running back in there, and he was super effective. Like, a lot of times when they're running the ball, they're just trying to get, you know, keep things on schedule, and he can certainly do that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see.
Did you see when they were doing that drill where they're rolling the ball at the, like they had to chop their feet and then they rolled the ball at him and they had to, it was in Darius's video from a couple days ago. Darius was like impressed with Jay Lee's kind of like jump cut to get away from the ball rolling out. He's like, okay.
Jay Lee's got some moves, man. That's what I mean. He was underutilized last year.
He's big, but he's like very agile.
Yeah. He was like a standout guy to me when they did that like August scrimmage, you know?
Yeah.
Like Fontenot, I don't think was getting much work then. It may have been just them holding him out, but Stacks impressed me then, and then they just didn't play him last year.
He fills a role, you know, he's different. So that might help him kind of slot in. We'll see.
Yep. Next question from Wayne. Is it true you take quarter Tom Hanks, quarter Denzel Washington, quarter Jive Hive, quarter Roman, mix it in a test tube, and you get no hat Jake grows?
Wow. I think that's a compliment.
I'll take it, I think. I mean, I'm half Tom Hanks, half Denzel Washington.
I know. Well, quarter.
Well, put together, but yes. I'll take the Jive Hive and the Roman, I guess, too.
Let's go. Let's get to 300 likes at least.
219, hit that like button. Angela with another question. After the spring game, RK and Jake, what do us non-students do? Go to the DMVR bar? Absolutely.
Ooh. Yeah. All of our plans have been for before the spring game.
Yep.
Well, and we obviously are going to do our post-game show after. Stay tuned. But, yeah, let's take it back to the DMVR bar.
Let's make it a party.
Love it.
From Comic Spark, new to college football, normally just watch NFL. Question, who is the team locked? When is the team locked?
Oh, when is the team locked in for the year or season?
Like roster-wise?
Yeah.
So it's literally up until the first game, you have a chance to get under 85 scholarships.
What about like transfer? You can kind of transfer at any time, huh?
So
you just, I don't know about playing.
Yeah, it's the transfer portal windows are weird. So we have a window opening up in May. The portal's closed right now.
Yep.
You can't enter it.
Players have like announced their intentions to transfer to places.
Exactly. So if you see any announcements that, hey, I'm going to the portal, that's what's happening. And guys that are in the portal currently who beat the deadline can commit basically at any time. I don't think it opens again until December, technically.
Okay. So that's, so you got to get in before the season.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Unless, and it's not going to happen at CU this year, unless your coach gets fired, then the portal opens for 28 days.
Okay, cool.
We've got a few months until, like, they can just still kind of stack guys and figure it out. There's that weird bylaw that Lincoln Riley used at USC where, you know, if you're over on scholarships, you can take 10 guys who were already there, kind of
take them off the team, but keep them in the university.
But keep them on financial aid, stuff like that. So there's things you can do. Next question from Nicholas. What's up, man? How do you guys feel about Shador now that you guys got to see him in person? I think we're just even more impressed. I mean,
for sure.
He was just letting it sling out yesterday. The ball was just pinpoint accurate constantly.
Yep. And that's the thing is just that precision is such a weapon always. But that's why I asked it to Sean Lewis. Think it's even more of a weapon in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited. You know, who knows the next time we're going to get an open practice, but I'm excited to see just the next practice, how much the offense has come and developed. And, you know, there was do you remember that? I think it was to Jimmy Horn down the sideline, that throw that I think was like barely, you know, Jimmy got his hands on it and then hit the ground and it popped out. But it was just like, my God, like you have this. You know, the corner has inside leverage. They're running down the field, and Shador just drops in a perfect ball that only Jimmy can catch, you know, and he does that kind of late turn to get to it, get away from the corner. And it's just like, dude, these are like Aaron Rodgers throws.
Yeah.
like that type of throwing them open on the inside leverage by throwing to the outside shoulder is just like 60 yards down the field. is so special.
Yeah, he is. He's very fun to watch. Alfredi with a question. Jake and RK, do you think the break next week will cause any setbacks for what was gained this week? I mean,
Coach Prime sure does.
Yeah, Coach Prime hates it.
Why didn't they change it?
Yeah.
It must not have been in his control. It certainly doesn't sound like it.
Well, we're probably going to get an earlier spring break next year if Coach Prime has any say.
Coach Prime should have all the say.
Yeah.
Make spring break early March. Coach Prime said so. That's why.
Or just like literally a week early, and then you can keep the same schedule.
Right.
Because you start practicing this, it would be next week, but it'd be all continuous up until the spring game.
Yep. I mean, it's different when it's a week, but like I always use the like when we're talking about like OTAs or anything like that in the NFL, I'm like, do you remember when you went on summer break and you got back and you had to do math the first day and you're like, yep. Shit,
yeah,
did I forget how to do math? Like you do forget stuff and you lose momentum.
And maybe that's just a way to kind of weed out guys. Like if you weren't working over spring break, mm-hmm. if you weren't taking spring break seriously and staying like training in your craft and you come back and it's evident, like, sorry.
Yeah. That's the difference between guys who want to, you know, be on the football team to go to parties and say they're on the football team,
mm-hmm.
and guys who want to go to the NFL.
Yep. Next question. From Vic Sports Talk, Caleb Mathis is underrated. He played at Trinity with Shador in 19 and 20. Do you believe he will be on scholarship by next February?
Wouldn't surprise me.
He's quick.
Yeah.
By the way, and very quick.
He gets thrown the ball when he's on the field.
He does,
and that stood out to me a lot. Also, loved that he was in Shador's most recent video when they were doing the legendary shoot.
Yeah.
He had Caleb with him. That's a good sign for Caleb. Mm-hmm. Another notable thing from that is that Shador was wearing a red and white hoodie. And I was like, other player did this, people would be so mad.
Yeah.
You just like can't be mad at Shador Sanders. Like I think I've said on the show before, I do not own red clothes. Like this little rose on here might be the most red you'll ever see me wear. Maybe a little Nuggets and Avs, you know, they have some red sprinkled in. But I literally do not own a solid red piece of clothing.
When the Jive Hive people were here a few weeks ago for like the Nuggets game or whatever event we had going on, they were like giving out shirts. And the guy gave me a red one. I was like, I can't wear red, man. I'm sorry.
When Brian Cabral took over as the interim coach for Dan Hawkins, when Dan Hawkins was fired, Brian Cabral is actually still, at least he's still listed as he's on the staff as like character coach.
Mm-hmm.
One of the just greatest.
He's still listed on there, by the way.
That's what I just said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He just one of the greatest dudes. Like he was like the main person who ran CU football camp when I was a kid. And so like he would kind of like give us our morning speech and stuff and like just like such a warm personality. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he's around the program. Anyways, loves CU football, hates Nebraska. And he took over. And during Nebraska week, one of the media, here you go. This is what I was trying to explain to you guys about clueless media. One of the media wore a red, like a bright red sweater. And he was so mad. He was like, I honestly cannot believe you would wear that in this building during this week. Like offended, straight offended. And he's like not the type of person to like scream at you.
Right.
But like it was cutting how upset he was.
There you go. Don't wear red this first week of September this week, then.
Don't wear red
this year.
Yeah. But Shador, well, you're Shador. You get away with it.
Yeah. Brian Cabral was the guy who was hanging out with Coach Mack when he came and visited a few weeks ago, right?
Yep. Brian Cabral's a great dude.
Eric with the super chat. Jake and RK, great to meet you guys yesterday. Vibes were sweet. Can't wait to see what you guys do next. Go Buffs. Thanks, Eric.
Oh, yeah, man. Great hanging out with you guys.
It was awesome yesterday. Really good time. We'll do it again soon, for sure. Jamal with the question, what's a 14 ERS?
What are 14ers?
Oh.
14ers are peaks in Colorado that are 14,000 feet tall.
Mm.
Yep. A thing that certain types of people like to climb, me, never even considered it.
Same.
Alyssa?
I've only done two.
Oh,
wow.
14ers on the ledger.
They're a little overrated, I will admit.
Well, there people are like, so here's the thing. You got to leave at 2:30 a.m. to make sure you get there, and so that when you're coming down, you do it before sun comes down. I was like, yeah, you can just count
exactly.
Me out. Like, I didn't even go to sleep until 2. How am I supposed to get up at 2:30?
Right. Jamel had the great comment on I can't remember which video. Which,
by the way, that is very impressive that you've completed that.
He had the comment comparing CU's facility to USC's indoor facility.
God,
great comment, Jamel.
Yes, it was. What is it? This looks like the Grand Canyon.
Yes, that's what it was.
USC's facility.
Great comment. Tyler Brown, we got a funny RK bachelor party story. Is there a funny RK spring break story?
Man, I'll have to think on that one. Remind me soon. I'm sure there is. I got to think of one that I can share on the show.
Well, spring break's next week. You can maybe save it for next week.
There we go.
By the way, Donovan.
All right, I got one for you.
Oh, we're going in.
Yep. So, senior year of high school, we took our senior trip to Cabo. And have you ever been to one of these resorts where, like, they're like, oh, like, Friday night, that's the big luau on the beach or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're like, all right, yeah, like, we'll hit this up before we go out to whatever thing people are doing that night. And like a ton of people from my high school went down here this year. And we go down to the thing, and, like, they're just coming around with tequila bottles and just, like, open up and just, like, pouring tequila into your mouth. And so I got so lit, so absolutely lit. And it was like 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually came home, we came back so early because my mom told us we had to be back by midnight or whatever. But we came in at like 7 before my parents even got back, and I was just done. So then at 3 a.m., my mom thinks we never checked in. She starts freaking out, comes over to our room, is like pounding on the door. My buddy answers the door to my mom, and she's like, oh my God, like, what's up? And he's like, oh, we came back like before dinner time. She's like, oh my God, well, where's Ryan? And he goes, he's at the floor bar. She's like, where is that? And he just points to me, just absolutely slumped in the bathroom. And my mom comes in the room, and she's like, hey, like, what's going on? I'm like, nothing, I'm good. And she's like, you threw up? And I was like, no, I didn't. And she's like, yeah, you did. And I just, like, get up, and I'm just like, God damn it. Oh. Get into the shower, just absolutely wrecked.
No.
So there you go. That was my trip to the floor bar. Worst bar ever.
Yeah, hopefully not many trips since.
Nope.
First, last, and only.
Yeah, that was maybe not last, but one of the few trips.
There you go. Donovan Olegbode is, I don't have this pat down yet, but he's from Florida. Kenneth Olegbode was from California, though.
Okay.
So.
There you go. Good, good research.
Thanks. Do we have something else? One more? Two more. From Life and Football, showing love. All of our Life and Football family told us to check y'all out. We do lives on our channel as well. Love chat with you guys.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to you guys, man.
Hit us up.
Yeah. Shoot a DM. John Bell, better CU-CSU moment. Clat to Bloom in a lightning storm in 03 or Lance Vickers forum throwdown touchdown
Lawrence,
in 05?
Lawrence Vickers. Man, the Clat... Ooh, Clat to Bloom. But even before that is Clat to McCoy, which is simultaneous with the lightning strike. That really sticks out to me. But I'll actually say, and this is something we were talking about with some of the guys last night at the bar, the goal line stand at Folsom is my favorite CU-CSU moment. The Cliff Notes version is it was a battle of a game, and CSU is down more than a field goal, less than a touchdown, and gets all the way down to the 1 yard line with like plenty of time left to score. And they ran 4 straight plays from the goal line and the Buffs stopped them four straight times, including one of the tackles was on a highly rated recruit who transferred from CU to CSU because he was upset about Eric Bieniemy. And so the Buffs get four straight stops, easily one of the loudest I've ever heard Folsom. Incredible, incredible finish to that game. But it's funny, like, asking a CU-CSU question like that, because I think it's hilarious that, like, all these, you know, newer fans have come along.
Yeah.
And we've talked so much about Nebraska.
Yeah.
And we just haven't talked about CSU at all. And well, I think that's very fitting.
It's fitting, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I almost sometimes forget they're on the schedule this year.
Yeah.
Because I'm just, like, so, you know, like, we're planning big stuff for TCU. Obviously, we have huge plans for the Nebraska game. And, like, CSU's next. And it's just, like, I haven't even thought of it. Usually it's the first game of the season, so we'd be talking about them, you know,
right.
But irrelevant.
Yeah. It's always fun when I get the CSU fans in my mentions. They crack me up.
It really is like, did you see the video of Hasbullah? Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah.
Like pretending to fight Mike Tyson.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's what it's like when CSU fans come at CU fans.
Pretty much, honestly. Is that all for today, Alyssa?
Yep.
All right. We're only at, I believe, 270 thumbs up. Not close. 300.
Close, but no cigar.
That's all right. I'll be back at spring practice tomorrow. You going tomorrow? Are you going to do Broncos and stuff?
Potentially.
Okay.
I think I might have to stay back for Broncos tomorrow.
Okay. So we'll have video tomorrow of whoever's talking. I think, oh, it's not Charles Kelly. We already had Charles Kelly and Sean Lewis. I can't remember who we get tomorrow. Maybe we get Travis finally. But maybe. We'll see. He's a busy man.
He is.
All right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs.